This is KCUR 89.3. I'm Gina Kaufman. A three-story hardware shop called Epstein's sits on the corner of 8th and Central, in the heart of downtown. If you've been to the Phoenix for a drink, you know the corner. Epstein's is right across the street. Like many hardware stores, it's where you go when you've got a problem to solve. A leaky faucet or a broken door hinge. But the generations-old mom-and-pop establishment has a DIY challenge of its own. Once surrounded by industry and now surrounded by restaurants and office spaces, Epstein's has to reinvent itself in an era of online and big-box stores. KCUR intern Coy Duggar takes us off that sidewalk and inside Epstein's.
The Harry J. Epstein Company has been working out of the same brick-and-mortar building for over 80 years, so stepping through the door is like stepping through time. The shelves are lined with packages of screws and bolts, saddles and leather utility belts dangle from clips. Bins are stocked with piles of steel hand tools. Your purchases are rung up on a 1920s cash register. At first glance, it might look like an old-time hardware store, but walking past the shelves, you might see a 60-inch pipe wrench. Seriously, a 5-foot wrench. There's even an oversized socket that weighs about 100 pounds or more, which you might find as part of an oil rig. Many of their quirkier items have tales of their own, like this small metal ring with a hook at the end. Jory Sacken has to give a whole history lesson to explain the story behind it.
So in World War II, we had a problem with subs. So someone came up with the idea of this bomb tether, which is to take four 100 bombs and just tether them together. So when they drop, they fall in a cluster. It was essentially the first cluster bomb. You know, they needed these like crazy until they didn't, you know, until the war ended.
Selling leftover odds and ends, like the tethers, is one of the key aspects of a surplus business.
We have to take something and that's no longer useful for what it was designed for and figure out something else to do with it. So one guy in New York used these to hang Christmas lights. You know, some construction workers will use them for hammer holders. You know, some people just like them for the object and the story, you know, that goes along with it.
Jory is the fourth generation owner and great-grandson of the hardware store's founder, Harry J. Epstein. One of Jory's key roles at the store is working as webmaster. He says that online sales now account for 50% of their business.
We've gone from just selling locally to the contractors, construction companies, people here in Kansas City, to selling all over the world. So we have customers in Thailand, we have customers in Australia, Canada, England.
Online sales have even prompted Epstein's to start a new department.
We have a comments box when people place an order, and typically people will be like, oh, leave it on the front porch or, you know, something like that. Well, one day we got a comment that said, please draw a flying dolphin on my box. So I was like, well, okay, I can do that. And so I did that and I posted a picture of it online. And then maybe 3 weeks later, somebody else wrote in, like, please draw this. And so it just kind of picked up steam. And so now we have a box art department in our shipping.
This is the internet and all, so people aren't afraid to submit weird art requests. Box artist Matt Toddy shares his favorites.
I like the dragon-elephant combination. Or some people get really specific. I think they want to play Stump the Box Artist, and it's like two dogs working on a tractor while one dog's being lazy and the other one's drinking lemonade. Like, very in-depth descriptions.
Yeah, here's one. This one came in today. Draw me your coolest looking parrot/peacock hybrid that shoots fire from its beak and wreaks havoc on a tree on the moon or something like that on the box.
Crazy art requests aside, the online market has affected Epstein's sales significantly. But not much has changed in the long run. The store is just as quirky now as it was in its beginnings. In the 1930s, after the dissolution of the U.S. cavalry, the original Harry J. Epstein jumped at the opportunity to buy a bunch of decommissioned Spurs, which were being sold in large quantities and for cheap. Steve Sacken, the third-generation owner and Jory's father, recollects.
When my grandmother found out that he'd spent all the family's money on these spurs. She's ready to kill him.
While those spurs may be long gone, the old-time charm and assortment of tools and oddities still attracts a lot of people, like Bill Carter, who is wandering the aisles.
I come down here with my friends every once in a while. We just like to look at their stuff. I'm retired as a millwright at General Motors, so I work with a lot of tools, and this is just an interesting place to come look at.
And there's another reason Bill likes to shop at Epstein's.
I just like the thought of keeping my money here in the U.S.
Old hardware stores like Epstein's have a unique scent. Some would call it musty, but Steve Sacken says a lot of people find it nostalgic.
The smell you're going to get in a Lowe's or Home Depot is not the same as the smell from a building that's been here for over 100 years, that has wooden floors and a lot of leather in it. And you know, maybe it's just the smell of history and the smell of dirt and oil and grime and leather and cardboard. But it's not an antiseptic smell that you're going to see in, you know, the big box stores.
Steve says there's other things big box stores don't have, and he's not just talking about that smell either. Epstein shows that you don't have to sacrifice tradition to be innovative. Sometimes you can make room for both.
Thanks, Coy Duggar, for that dispatch from Epstein's.